Namaste. The question is about indifference. What is indifference? So indifference is one of the practices which is advised when we are walking the path of yoga. It is a practice through which we can arrive at equality. Indifference is not equality, but indifference, endurance, stoic endurance, philosophical detachment, they are different shades of the same thing. So they are means by which we ignore things which do not concern us. So in Hindi, there is a very nice proverb, which is very interesting, that I'll say in Hindi, then repeat in English. Jis gaon jana nahi, uska pata puchna nahi. Why you want to know the name of the village where you don't want to go? So similarly, when we walk in life, we will see that many things will come, even ordinarily. So we don't start engaging with anything and everything. It doesn't concern us. So what it means really is that when you take the goal of yoga, then there are many things which have no really relevance to us in the journey, and we just ignore them, we become indifferent towards them. To take some examples, what is happening in my neighborhood? Now, it would concern if it is an event which is going to impact the earth. I agree. It would concern if there is some kind of a injustice of a strong kind, cruel act going on. Yes, we should. But otherwise, you know, people spend so much time and energy on what is happening in somebody's life. So when such things people discuss, we should be indifferent. Similarly, physical level, all the three levels it applies. Physical level, weather changes, people discuss about it. Oh, today it is raining. Oh, this is too hot. Now stay indifferent to that. How does it matter? Similarly, when you are walking the path, somebody will criticize you, somebody will praise you. Stay indifferent. How does it matter? See, if you listen to people's criticism, are you going to change yourself based on other person's idea of what you should be? You should not. Even if you could, you should not. Because you have to walk the path based on the truth as it unfolds inside you. And if you are not going to change according to that, if you change according to that, that is another disaster, because you are changing your whole life in a way which is not according to that law of truth inside you. So when people are critical about you, they don't know what you are, who you are, what is your journey. Journey is unique. So when mother was told about the opinions of human beings, so she said you should be indifferent to human opinion, because all human opinions are opinions in ignorance. Nobody knows your past, your unique present, your unique future. So stay indifferent. Equally, praise. If you start be feeling flattered because people are praising you, then again you may lose track and start, you know, people unconsciously begin to adopt forms of behavior and manners which will bring them praise if you are affected by praise. So indifferent. Similarly, when people contradict your viewpoint, you don't have to start fighting with them, nor you have to get stuck to your viewpoint. We have to understand all viewpoints, all opinions are partial expressions, distorted, limited. So to get stuck rigidly at a viewpoint is again treat with indifference. Everybody has their viewpoint. You keep moving upward from where we are to where we have to go. So indifference means that. It should not make a difference. Means it should not create a stir to you. Now there is another dimension of this, because very often people think, oh, if somebody is indifferent, he becomes like stone. No. You become conscious. So when there is something she writes about vigilance, which is very, very interesting. It is related to this. So the mother says that when there is two aspects of vigilance. One is that you are vigilant not to, you know, to see what is and where it is coming from, and you stay away, you keep it away. This is one kind of vigilance. But she gives a very interesting example, another example of vigilance. Vigilance is to make progress through everything. in everything there is a possibility of progress. Now you turn it in another way. Weather has changed. So one way is indifference. Second is that one is becoming conscious that this change is affecting me. So you look inside, you understand, and you make a change. Okay. Then people are praising and blaming you. If they are blaming you and criticizing, look at that. Is there any truth in that criticism? If there is a truth, feel happy you have discovered something and change. If there is no truth, discard it. If people are praising you, become conscious that, you know, what is in you that is feeling happy about it. We may not express outside, but inside something is feeling happy. So then we look inside and we see, oh, the ego is stepping out. So take it out and offer it to mother. Okay, so you made a progress. Same way at mental level, when there are viewpoints and opinions, look at those viewpoints and opinions. See what is the truth inside them. And then keep that core and discard the husk. So indifference has two aspects. One is that you don't bother about things, not because you have become heartless brute, but because they really don't concern your journey or the journey of the earth to that extent. But of course, like Sri Krishna, when there is a fight, he takes a stand. So when Sri Aurobindo was asked about this also, that, well, in that case, people, if they say something about you and the mother, something in me reacts. Should I or should I not? Should I not in the, remain indifferent? Because some people are saying you should remain indifferent. So Sri Aurobindo said, well, you can practice indifference if you want, but if that is the only thing expected and demanded, then what about the Gita which says, take a stand and fight? So there is the other aspect. So if you bring in that dimension of the Gita where you are fighting, you can combine the two by saying that stay indifferent to whatever touches your ego. But be firm regarding your soul. There are two standpoints. Don't act under the identification with the ego. I don't feel good about it. How dare such and such person criticize me? So I react. Now that is reaction of the ego. Be indifferent. But does it mean that one will not act? One will act. Now look at it from the other perspective. Sri Krishna would call it dharma. Based on the dharma. So dharma of course is within the soul. If you have discovered soul, it's very easy. Do what your soul tells you to be the right thing, not what your desired self and the ego self prompts you. And if you don't know the soul, then use the discerning intelligence. There are broad outlines of dharma which are there. And act according to that in any given situation. So the Gita's stand is very interesting. Arjuna wants, he says, why should I bother what they are doing? Let me take sannyas. But Sri Krishna says, no, take a stand and fight. Fight against whom? Your own family members. Why? Because they are doing something which is adharma. It's not about right and wrong. So indifference means all these things. But as an initial practice, the simplest thing is not to get affected by what people say or do, by the environment, by the circumstances in which you find yourself in. This is the minimum. Don't become restless. Because why? If you become restless because of things around you, you will want to change the circumstance. And in spiritual life, the truth is, if you don't change yourself within, you may change circumstance, you will land up in the same soup. So there are people who become very restless, they want to change. So they want to change their situation. Then again they become restless. Then they change. Then again they become restless. Why? Because the change needed is change within. So mother puts it very beautifully. She says, if you want to change a house, changing a house will not change you. But if you change yourself, you will not need to change the house. So even with department change, many people do this. So in ashram, this training is given right up to the last point. You must have noticed in the ashram, you can't change your department easily. Of course, people try, but you are stuck with a head, you are stuck with the people. You have no choice, right? I mean, you have a choice. You can fight the people who go and say, no, I can't work, and they will change sometimes. But generally speaking, you don't have much choice. Okay? You may like, you may not like. So what do you do in that circumstance? Change your consciousness. First step towards it is be indifferent. Observe inside why you are reacting. It's a reaction of the ego. Change yourself inside. So change your consciousness, because that alone will lead us to abiding peace and joy. Okay?
Maybe that person's nature's defect is there. Obviously, we understand it's a nature's problem. Like one person or a group of persons, little kind of a wrong attitudes, they are coming towards you. In that case, how do you manage?
That's exactly what is meant by indifference. Don't see what is the attitude of the other person, because it will not help you to progress. People will come with all kinds of attitude, right, wrong, indifferent. You may feel, do things for, you know, how often we hear this, oh, I did so much for the other person and look what the person has done to me. He has done a great favor, by the way, by not doing anything. He gave you a chance to really understand that true love is love which is without expectation, and to turn this love towards the divine. So actually he helped. I mean, not consciously, not that you should be indifferent to somebody and say, you know, I want to help you. Not at all. But yes, people will come, and precisely there one has to practice indifference. You have to meet them every day. You see, very often when God wants you to just enjoy fruits of your past labor, he will put you in contact with a man or a woman, husband, wife, who are very happy with each other. Picture perfect, pair perfect, made in heaven, and only for heaven. Okay? But when the divine wants you to progress, he will put two people together who at some point cannot see each other eyeball to eyeball. Or he will create a challenge in a relationship. Why? Because he is teaching you to progress. So when there are people working together, same thing happens outside, but not so much in work atmosphere as in home. Can you change your son? You can't change your son, daughter. Parents, can you change them? You can't change them. Husband, wife, you can change, but not like easily. So what do you do when there are people who are of a certain kind? You are living with them. Same thing applies here, no? Who are what we may call as negative? Well, that's one way to put it. But negative positive is a loaded statement. Who have their own viewpoint which is weird, maybe, you know. So what do you do in that case? Remain indifferent. Fair enough. You can be firm. So that's where you can be firm. If you feel it is a dharma, be firm. Not being firm there is also conceding. So it's now, this is a very good question. What if a woman is working? Let me put it very squarely. And there is a man who is trying to approach in a way which is unbecoming. Okay, what is normally called as exploitation. Or there is a term for it. I'm forgetting. Anyways, this is a, by the way, legal crime also. Trying to pass lewd remarks, lewd comments, or trying to, you know, get close, abuse. You know, some people try to touch things like that. Don't be indifferent to that. That's why qualified. No, I qualified that statement that, you know, adharma, when it comes to that, if you are indifferent, be indifferent to the ego reactions, but not to dharma, adharma, not to the soul's cry. When you do that, then what are you doing actually? You are encouraging the sum of evil in the world. That's precisely what the teaching of the Gita is. By you, you know, you want to clean your hands and appear very sadhu. But you have become the cause of evil in the world by abstaining from action. So there are situations where you need to act and act very firmly, because if you don't, it is going to create an adharma. So there are people who take it like same, like my parents, doesn't matter. So you see the logical extension of this. Parents say that you burn the daughter-in-law because she's not got dowry. This used to happen, no, some time back. Are you going to accept it? Be indifferent, it doesn't matter. No, you cannot be. Then you are supporting a dharma. So indifference to the ego. If parents have told you something, you are a useless guy, stay indifferent. Okay? But where it is something crudeness, I would go to that extent that if somebody in your atmosphere is using abusive language, okay, what do? You stay quiet and indifferent? It doesn't matter to you. He's using it in somebody else's. How does it matter? No, you should get up immediately and leave the place. The person should understand this is not welcome. See, this in India, this tendency has led to Mayavad. So I've done it when somebody I heard an abuse in dispensary, someone who was sitting outside, he was abusing someone else, and I said, please get out from here. And he said, I'm not saying anything to you. I said, yes, but this is not the place to do it. It's a temple. So we should not, indifference doesn't mean that. Indifference is only to your ego reaction. You get angry, you get righteousness, I am somebody special, get rid of that. But if somebody is abusive, he is spreading vibrations, especially in a world, that's what Shurbindu says in that letter to Sahanadi. Because there is a truth to be manifested here against which there are forces of falsehood which are arraigned against it. So you have to take a stand. You can't help it. Yeah, so that is one outlook. You have to look at it as nature's problem. See, there are two different things altogether. You have to look at it as a nature's problem. Now imagine, take this context a little further. Someone goes ahead and rapes a woman. What do you say? Nature's problem. It'll be so stupid. Common sense has to be used. Somebody goes and, you know, starts molesting. You know, the person working in an office, he's molesting girls, ladies, women. Literally, he's a predator. There are predators, no? No, he's a colleague. So I should not say, no, you must speak up. But you should be sure and conscious. It should not become some people get paranoid. You should be sure. If you are sure that this is a behavior which is happening, you have every right to tell it to the person who is in charge. Beyond it, it's not given to you. If you observe something, and if it is happening to you, but let me tell you, qualify this again. There are people who misinterpret behavior. I know personally, at least in a setup like this, where there is a lot of things which are, you know, because people hold on to their impulses inside, they project it onto others. This is a mechanism called in psychiatry as projection. So they start feeling that the other person is trying to hook at me, whereas it may not be true. So you should be sure. Not based on, no, that day, you know, when he was talking on the phone, he was looking at me. Doesn't mean anything. That is like young boys, oh, that girl looked at me and, threw her hair, so she's in love with me. It is as stupid as that. Okay, so it is not as simple as it may appear. But if you are sure, something happens to you, somebody has touched you, tell no. If you don't say no, if you are happy with the touch, all right. If you don't say no, he takes it as a concession. So I keep telling people, embrace and all that, you know. Now, if he takes it as a concession, Shurbindu says, human touch itself, so much can be transmitted through that. So then next time he'll do it, then you can't blame the person. But at some point you say no. Second time the person does it with you, you won. And if the person comes close, by all means, see, people who have accepted stalkers, even police have said, and there have been murders like that, no? And I ask this, that would you allow this to happen to your daughter? You won't. So that's the whole thing, that, you know, to say that I'll be indifferent, whatever is happening to me, it doesn't mean that. So always one has to keep what Sri Aurobindo says, balance and proportion. Fundamental rule of yoga. Any quality, take it as an axiomatic truth, any quality, if you exaggerate, then you are landing in falsehood. Take for instance truth speaking. Truth speaking is a wonderful quality, no? We are all children of truth. Now, to what extent you will stretch it? When you have heard or seen something about somebody X, you speak about it to Y. Are you speaking truth or not? Do you know the totality of things? You don't know. And you think you are speaking truth. You are speaking only truth of a moment of an external something which you have seen. You don't know the totality. And it is not going to be in any way helpful. So this is not truth. Second, this truth will be misused in all likelihood. Okay? And more commonly misunderstood. Okay? So this was, so you have to be very careful about what you speak. And depending on the person, the whole scenario changes. So all these states of consciousness, so that's why truth is not as simple as, oh, I am speaking truth. Speak the truth, but first know the truth. So all these are together. But if you exaggerate under every circumstance, I will speak the truth. Then where are you really heading? You are turning that truth into falsehood, because you are giving a precious pearl called truth in the hands of the forces of falsehood, and they will say, oh, wonderful, now we have it in our hands. So it's a totality. One has to see all these things before action. There is no such simple rigid rule of x plus y equals to xy. Sorry, is it xy? My algebra? X multiplied by y equals to xy, by the way. Correct? Sorry, x. Yeah. But anyways, that's how it is. Namaste.